glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We're glad to have you all here. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to see so many people. Wow. It's a great turnout on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. I think Amber was going to share something and then we'll get started this morning. But
good morning. Sorry, I had already gone next door to start teaching over there. This is very small, but I mentioned it to Dad. If you had an opportunity, I could mention this morning. I just got so blessed this morning by the Holy Spirit loving on us, and I really should have shared this during worship. But I got a call this morning at 7:30 in the morning from Germany, and it was my oldest boy. And that kid's had a deep stake in my heart since the day he was born, 21 years ago. And I get to talk to him every couple weeks, but the joy of him calling for absolutely nothing to say, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I said, "I'm blow drying my hair. I'm getting ready for church." And we talked for maybe 10 minutes, and we hung up. And I was just so happy that he had reached out to me, and the Holy Spirit started loving on me. And he said, "You know that feeling? That's how I feel. Every time you show up to your prayer closet, that joy and that excitement and that you just thought of me feeling, that's how I feel." So I just want to encourage us to show up, because making other people happy is amazing. But to think that we have the ability to make the Father happy, it's overwhelming. So I'm going to keep showing up. And that's all I wanted to share.
Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, so creste di atalana. Mara crece di caro cresce di atale. Mande kelech eli afloman stina tindeski di. Hunde karasoto, ha chinisi diato, fronde be ala kreske diriatala. For they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For this is the testimony that Jesus is Lord. We speak that which we know. We give you glory, Father. We give you glory. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been here several times before in the past. We're going to cover it some more this morning for those that are standing. And we appreciate those who are standing spiritually. We're on the threshold of the greatest revival that the world's ever seen. And we see this starting to come to pass, and the church is, how many see this church is starting to fill up? But that's not the telltale sign. The telltale sign is the presence. And we appreciate that presence of the Lord more than anything else. Now, he said Paul was writing here to the church at Ephesus. He was sharing with them some of his remarks, but he was concluding on six chapters. He was concluding 5.5 chapters of exhortation to the church. And when he gets to what seems like a salutation, it's more than a salutation when he goes into finally. When he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might, which is what? His word. Standing in His word. Keep speaking the word of God. Don't stop. Now, we studied this and we went through, there's 41 different things. And we don't have those in front of us. 41 different things that prepare for this word finally. And it's the word not as in conclusion, but it's the word as in as having done all to stand. Stanley, finally you are ready to make this final stand. And this is where Paul is speaking, and he's telling the church here at Ephesus, all of everything leading up to this point was Christian character, godly character, putting on and putting off, putting on the new man, taking off the old. Hallelujah. And as a result of it, Paul comes to the place where he's saying, if you do these things, a lot of times we're going to read here in just a moment about spiritual warfare. And a lot of you are going through that. I've been going through that some myself. But I can tell you this, the prerequisite, the place of getting ready for or standing where you can move mountains is a place where you have done all to, you've done all of these character things. So many different things in here that people would think less, that carries less of what it takes to walk in the power. Husbands, love your wives. I said, husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Children, obey your parents. A lot of the simplicity things in the church that we think, oh, they're just, that's a give me. And yet, these are the things that prepared the church for Paul saying, finally. And he was saying, not just finally as I'm getting done with my letter. He was saying, you're finally ready. You're finally ready for the place where you can stand. And he says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, Diablo. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what's he telling us here? He's telling us that there's an unseen realm. And if you really realize that, if you understand that you have the power and the authority in Jesus' name to speak into this realm, you can change things. And this is what we're called for today, is to stand in all of the character of coming up to this place, and then to stand whether we feel like it or not, whatever the circumstances are, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, and he names four different categories at least. Well, we know that there's these principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to do what? Withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, do what? Stand. Hallelujah. We're in a place of standing. We won't give up. We won't give in. God is the answer. Hallelujah. He is our confidence. He's our standing. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What's the breastplate of righteousness? Well, it's Jesus. It's also the character. It's also listening to that inner man. It's also listening and not obeying I was talking with Gary Carpenter the other day, and we were talking about certain things. We're just texting back and forth, and he said, you know, I can't even watch commercials anymore. You have to turn your head for commercials. And so the breastplate of righteousness, thanks, Harry, the breastplate of righteousness is not something that you just put on automatically. It's something you do on a continual basis. And that is that you continually guard your conscience, and you continually walk in a place where you're saying, I'm putting on Christ. I'm putting on this breastplate of righteousness. He says there, to stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. Well, our loins girt about with truth is that we know this, that, earlier in these chapters, it says that we are to not to lie to one another. And so if we put on the girdle of truth, it's not just something that we just casually do. It's something that we stand up and say, I am going to speak the truth all the time. And if I speak the truth all the time, then I can't be mocked when I do speak to principalities and powers. Now, speaking the truth all the time is not you coming up and saying to somebody in church, sister so-and-so, I just got to tell you the truth. I don't like the way you're dressed today. That's not the truth. That's just some fact or some imagination you have. Truth is not lying to one another. Truth is speaking God's word continually. And so when we speak God's word, we're speaking truth against the fact. Facts change. Hallelujah. Speaking the truth of God's word against all lying circumstances or anything that is in the darkness trying to convince you otherwise is putting on not only the breastplate of righteousness, but the girdle of truth. You have the ability to stand in that truth and continue to speak that truth no matter what your senses feel or no matter what is going on around you. And having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the gospel of peace, yes, it is this gospel that we preach on the streets or wherever or witness. This gospel is a gospel of peace. But it's saying something more than that. It's telling us this, that we're supposed to follow peace. We're supposed to follow the peace of the inner man. And if we follow that peace, that's the good news. The pathway to victory always is to follow the peace of God. If your spirit is interrupted, stop. Stop. And allow the Holy Spirit to begin to redirect you. Because the pathway to peace is also the pathway to victory. Amen, Kevin? Hallelujah. They were sharing something this morning that everything is has started changing for them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You look better today than you did 6 months ago. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, this is a miracle. This guy, strokes, all kinds of, what's that? Can you stand up, Kevin? Hallelujah. I want you to see a living miracle. Hallelujah. He's going to step out of the aisle. He don't have to, but he can't. There you go. Denise called us when was it when you called and said they're basically saying he's gone. December 12th. That's only 6 weeks. And they said he was gone. They were taking him to the hospital. Basically, they couldn't hardly get any pulse or anything. That's when he had his seizure. He's not gone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, buddy. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What's the shield of faith? It's speaking the word of God. Saying what Jesus, what did he do when he was attacked in the wilderness? The three temptations in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. The shield of faith is to, when something comes, don't speak your thoughts, but speak. Sometimes you just rest in peace, but it's to turn and say, it is written. It is written. Lift up the shield against the fiery darts. God has this church on a collision course towards revival. Hallelujah. If I'm a little sluggish this morning, pray for me. I got a couple of hours last night. But we're gaining. Hallelujah. Maybe more than that. I don't know. But we're on a collision course for an outpouring. And many of you have been, I know, worship team, different people in the church, elders, have been fighting this thing. But keep speaking the word of God. Keep speaking truth. One of the ways that you, but here's the thing. To speak truth, you got to know truth. Listen to Homer's message. Listen to Gary Carpenter. Listen to Jim Martin. We're about to get into some real wonderful doctrine here in the next few weeks. But read your Bible, people. Read your Bible. Take time, because it's more important that you're reading the word yourself than even hearing preachers preach to you. I love this. He's my favorite. Read the word. One of the lost arts of the church now is not reading the word of God. And it's so important that you sit in the presence of the Lord and read the word of God. Why? Because then you have an ability to know what the Holy Spirit would say. Speak this against the temptation. Speak this against the lie. Speak this. This is the truth. You're not going to have time to call up Robert, Sister Barbara, Homer in the middle of the night and say, can you give me a scripture on this? You need to have the scripture inside. Amen. Marcia, amen. Hallelujah. Because I know she's a woman filled with the word. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what Jesus did. He quenched it. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now, the word here is not, when it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the word here is not logos, as we usually pertain to written word. It is the word rhema. It's the word that we get the word rhema from, which is a difference from logos, which is the kind of the present help. It's the revelation. When Jesus was in a war in the wilderness with the enemy, and the enemy said, you know, this, and Jesus said, but it is written. And the enemy said right back to him, when he was tempting him to, took him to the pinnacle of the temple, set him there and said, God will save you. He misquoted. He tried to go to Psalms 91. The enemy sometimes will take the word of God, if he can, and twist it. But you've got to have enough word in you to know. It was like there was a sword fight. The enemy said something, but Christ took out the anointed sword, which was the present tense word or mind of Christ, which was the rhema. And that's why we have to have a very close relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we know that we can get a rhema word right in the midst of the storm. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always. How many prayer warriors do we have out there? Let's say, I'm praying always. One of the ways to do that is continue to just pray in the Spirit. I pray as much as I can all day long in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we know that he's telling us here that it's important to stay in the Spirit, keep praying the mysteries, and keep praying so that the Holy Spirit keeps us full against the things that the enemy is going to bring in these last days. Joel's army. Hallelujah. Peter talked about it. Let's go to the book of Joel for just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. As I said, we're in the edgewaters of the greatest outpouring. Hold on a second. This planet's ever seen. Thank you, Jesus. He took Joel. There he goes. I thought they took him out of my Bible here for just a moment. It's like, oh my God, I've got one of those misprinted Bible. So he's telling us this is the prophecy concerning the last days. And this is what we're standing in, getting ready for this outpouring of God's Spirit. Joel chapter 2. Verse 28. Hello, Joel's army. Everybody say, I'm part of Joel's army. We're about to enter in. It shall come to pass, and this is what Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. So we know this is right out of where God was. It was a prophecy of what Peter quoted of what's going to happen in the last days and how that God's Spirit is going to fall upon his entire church. And it came to pass, verse 28, it'll come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my Spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Delivered. He's telling us here that on his sons and his daughters and on all flesh, he'll pour out of his Spirit. Hallelujah. We're in that place now that we're coming to where there's just a covering of presence. Gary keeps talking about backing up our, Homer brought it out, backing up our trucks for that daily bread. Going into his presence on a daily basis, receiving of God's presence. Why? Because what the world wants to see, or what the world needs to see and what the church needs to see more than anything else is when they come in here, they feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. They need to know that there's love in this house. If they feel his love, the work is done. Evangelism is done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And upon my body, his body, he's going to pour out his Spirit like never before. Hallelujah. Let's just stand and worship him for just a few minutes. Hallelujah. We're not over, but we just worship God. Hallelujah. Harry, let's just worship.
You've heard me say this for years. I've been Pastor Bronk's associate for years. What an honor. 34 years I've been, or 30-something years I've been in this little church, and I love it. I can't get enough of it. But you've heard me say for years, in the struggles of my life as a Christian, four strokes, I say this to prove a point. Not bragging about what I've been through. Nobody brags about strokes. Trust me. 4 strokes. Lost my eyesight. I got kidneys in rebellion. 12 years ago, I lost a job making 6 digits a year. An awesome, prestigious job. I lost it. 12 years later, my fire is still burning. I am not. I am not. I am not troubled or worried or filled with anxiety one bit. Every single month, they go to me at dialysis and they want me to get a kidney transplant, saying this, Mr. Betancourt, get the kidney transplant or you're going to die. I am not worried. My pastor told me years ago when I went to him hurting, crying, confused, perplexed. I said, Pastor Bronk, I need your counsel, man. I don't know which way I'm going, man. He heard me. You heard me say this, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to share the word with about 5 minutes to validate the counsel he gave me. I said, I'm hurting, big dog. That's what I call him. I call him the big dog, in case some of you don't know. I call him the big dog with all respect. Big dog as in the word. I said, big dog, I need your help, man. I'm hurting. He looked at me silently, didn't say nothing. Crying out my heart to him. I'm hurting, big dog. I'm an emotional mess right now. He didn't say nothing. He heard me out. He said to me, verbatim, you got to fight through this, buddy. You got to fight through it. No hug. He didn't cry with me. Basically, he said, soldier up, man. I know it's an emotional battle, but you, Homer, you got to fight through it. That's the best advice I've ever received in my life. Because I fought through it. And going through the book of Thessalonians the other day, a deep dive into this book, I'm not going to preach to you, I'm just going to share my heart with you, validating his counsel towards me years ago at the roughest point of my life. I said, I need help. He gave me help, all right, fight through it. The book of Thessalonians was written by Paul to a church at Thessalonica. He says to them, you have received the word in much affliction. You've received it. That's the thrust of the book. You family pray. I know you're going through something. I know you are. Sarah, you're going through something. Homer, you're going through something. You're all going through something, but you're receiving the word in much affliction. Said, I know you are. The last chapter of Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, rejoice always in affliction. He said, I know, Fanny Prayer Center, you're going through it. I know you are. You received the word in much affliction. The last chapter of Thessalonians says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you don't fulfill chapter 5, you're going to have a hard time with chapter 1 through 4. He said, rejoice always. What did the passage just say? Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for the family person. I know you're going through it. You're contending for kingdom. You're contending for revival. There's going to be head games. It's going to be a mirage. There's going to be complacency. There's going to be success. There's going to be lack of success. There's children. There's family. There's burdens. But this reigns supreme, man. This reigns supreme. Pastor Bronk, this big dog, this reigns supreme. I know feelings seem real, man. I know they do. But this reigns supreme. Even when it hurts, it reigns supreme. Let me wind it down with this. If you receive the word, church, you received it. I know you're hurting. Some of you being persecuted, even killed. You're receiving the word in much affliction. Chapter 5. But, church, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Even in those 5 awesome chapters, the advice Pastor Brunk gave me was, soldier up, boy. You got to be tough, buddy. Paul told the church, Thessalonica, the same thing. He didn't hug them. He didn't feel sorry for them. He didn't tell them they were victims. He said, I charge thee that you, family prayer, that you would walk worthy of the kingdom and his glory. That's the advice he gave them. You're going through it. He said, but I charge you, you would walk worthy of the kingdom and his glory. Whatever you're going through, family prayer center, Homer, Bronk, Sarah, etc., walk worthy of the kingdom. He's called you to his glory. You fight with this right here. You fight to the end. We fight. We contend for kingdom. If you live in the kingdom, which me and the big dog do, we will see kingdom. We will see a revival. We will see it. We're receiving the word in much affliction, but we rejoice always. We pray without ceasing in everything. We give thanks to God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. And by the way, he said, I charge thee, walk worthy of the kingdom and his glory. Yes. That's his instruction for us in this rough time in the spirit. Because if we live kingdom, we will see kingdom. Living kingdom when things, don't just worry about living kingdom when all is rosy. When there's affliction, persecution, when there's a mirage, we live kingdom. We are taught so well here. Grab the message and run with it, man. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. The next part, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Father, right now I can't see. My kidneys aren't working right now, Father, but I give you praise. I give you praise that by your stripes, Lord Jesus Christ, I am healed. One more minute. How often do we do this? Psalms 56. He said, in God, listen to me. In God, I will praise his word. Listen what he said. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. He said, I will have. What can man do to me? I am not afraid, is what the psalmist said. He said, in God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. What do you mean, I have put my trust? If you don't praise him for his word, you're not trusting in God. He said, in God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. Then he says, in God, I will have. I have when I do what I'm the will. Father, I thank you. I thank you for perfect eyesight, Father. I praise you for your word. That you yourself, Jesus, took our infirmities and you bore my sickness. I don't care what the doctor says, Lord. I praise you for your word. In your word do I trust. In the blood of Jesus is my sanctification. I see, Lord, because you took all infirmity upon yourself so that I would be redeemed. That's what we're taught in this church. That's what this big dog has been teaching us for 30 years. That is the gospel of the kingdom. That is the gospel of the kingdom. We fight. We fight. And we win. And we submit to Pastor Bronk and Miss Candy. We are taught the true gospel in context of the kingdom in this little church. Big dog, thank you. We finished. We started together. We finish together. We will see kingdom because we both live in kingdom. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. What a closer. I praise God for it. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's all stand again. Up and down. Thanks, homie. Praise the Lord. Just needed. Hallelujah. Well, you're blessed. Turn to somebody and tell them that you're blessed. Give them one more hug before you leave. Hallelujah. We'll see you tonight for prayer. Amen.